Good evening, Lord. Thank you for bringing us through another day. Thank you for bringing us to another study. And Lord, as we open the Bibles, more than anything, we ask that you would open our minds, that our hearts might be stayed on thee, and that we might be unmoved, rooted, grounded, built solidly on the rock, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be together again. And as we go deeper into your word, break down the stony hearts that we have, the resistance to truth, the resistance to light, the resistance to growth. And may we take on gladly the image of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name, who is our Savior. Let everyone say, Amen. Tonight we want to take just a moment to share with you about Transformation Broadcast Ministries. We have distributed for your information this letter. It's two pages, front and back, that allow you to learn about our history and what we've been doing and what our focus is, because Transformation Broadcast Ministries is deeply committed to soul winning. And I believe that Transformation Broadcast Ministries is concerned about the same things that you are concerned about. You're concerned about souls. We are concerned about souls. And so please take a few moments to read through this letter from us to you, from our hearts to your heart. But we also want to share with you verbally some communication about what Transformation Broadcast Ministries is. In 1996, my wife Karen and I made a single commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ into a focused ministry that would use broadcast medium, or the broadcast medium, meaning that we would use television, radio, and now web broadcasting to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Our vision is presenting the transforming Christ to the metropolitan societies of the world. And when we say metropolitan societies, we're talking about the cities of the world, because cities can no longer be looked upon as being of one dominant race or another. Our cities of the world, not only in the United States but also the world, are melting pots of many different ethnic and cultural and racial groups. And our vision is to present to these different groups, as God leads us, the transforming Christ. We do it through television and also radio. We have developed and been able to broadcast approximately 70, well over 68, but approximately 70 television programs that introduce people to Jesus Christ. And radio broadcast and radio programs, we are thankful to the Lord for having opened the doors where we are now heard on 123 radio broadcast outlets around the world. Can I hear you say amen? And that indeed is a joy to be a part of that. Our mission is to deliberately appeal to the multiple cultures in the cities of the world, which means that the programming that we design when we are talking about Christ and presenting Christ is done so in such a way to touch people's lives. And we use individuals who have proven record of being able to support the ministry and present the transforming Jesus Christ, as you see here, Pastor T. Marshall Kelly. And we believe that when we share, we know that when we share the transforming Christ, people are willing to say yes to Christ, and they are being drawn to Christ even in instances that we are not even aware of. In other words, because of the power of television and radio, it will only be when we get to heaven that we know the tremendous work and movement of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. I'd like to share with you just a couple of quick testimonies of what God has done through using radio and television. we received an email from an individual, a trucker, who was driving along somewhere in the Carolinas, and he heard the broadcast. There were two possibilities in the Carolinas where he could have heard the broadcast, either from a station that broadcast our programs in Columbia, South Carolina, or possibly also in Asheville, North Carolina. However, this trucker had heard a message on the subject of the state of the dead, and he emailed us when he was able to communicate with us, or actually he phoned our 1-800 number. I stand corrected. That's what he did. He phoned our 800 number, and they emailed us saying that he had heard the broadcast and he wanted to know more about the subject of the truth about the state of the dead. And I am thankful that the Lord moved on his heart that even though he was driving down the interstate, he wrote the number down that he could call in, and he phoned in and received the necessary information to continue to learn about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Let me give you another example. Even behind prison walls, we have had correspondents from California and the Carolinas and other places, even from down in the Caribbean, down in Jamaica, where people have corresponded and said, thank you for your ministry. We have seen you in the broadcast on Three Angels Broadcasting Network, or we have heard it on the radio station, and we're thankful for what God is doing through the preaching and teaching of the Word. I have learned more since listening to this broadcast. One final testimony came right from our home base in Huntsville, Alabama. There was a lady who was listening to WOCG, which is Oakwood College Radio Station, and we can be heard there even on the internet at 7:30 on Sabbath mornings. And it's interesting that this dear sister was tuned in, not of the Seventh-day Adventist faith, but nevertheless, she wrote to us and she said, I did not understand prophecy before listening to this broadcast. She said, but what I have learned has helped me to know not to be afraid of what there is in Revelation. I wish that I had known more sooner. That's almost a direct quote. So you can see that the Lord uses television and radio and even the web broadcast to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the point of meeting dignitaries such as you see in this photograph, Mayor Eddie Perez, who is the mayor of Hartford, Connecticut. And we had a chance to meet him and interview him. There we're sharing, in this photograph, we're sharing with pastors in the Pacific Union Conference. All of the regional pastors within the Pacific Union came together, and we were able to minister to them, Karen and I, concerning how to maintain strong marriages in ministry. And here we are ministering in the island, or on the island of Jamaica, at the University of the West Indies, a secular campus, but nevertheless, we were doing ministry, and there you see the young people who have come forward. There were approximately 300 to 400 young people that came forward on that Sabbath right outside of Kingston on last fall. And so our involvement in web broadcasting and praying with people in our broadcast and singing the good news of the soon coming Jesus and sharing with those who are in need, or maybe they just have a need to reach out or be touched. This gives us the opportunity to let people know that Jesus is coming soon and that they can put confidence and trust in the study of God's Word. And as they study God's Word and make decisions, baptisms come as a result. What do you say? And so I'm thankful that you have allowed us to come here and minister Transformation Broadcast Ministries. That's our ministry, and this is what we do. And the letter that we've passed out to you gives you, again, an overview of what we are involved in. And we want you to please take time to read the letter. If you would like to support us, you can do so by writing to us at Post Office Box 11008, Huntsville, Alabama, 35814. And your gifts, your donations, are tax deductible. We are a IRS-approved 501c3, which means a not-for-profit organization. And by your gifts, we are able to continue to produce programs that you will see on television or that you will hear on the radio. So continue to keep us in prayer, and we solicit your prayers as well as your support. And I thank you for giving us a chance to share that little bit of information with you about Transformation Broadcast Ministries. Tonight we want to go into the process of learning more about the great controversy that we're all involved in. The great controversy, as we have been sharing it with you under the title of Breaking Free, Spiritual Warfare, Victory in Christ, we're in the fourth segment. We're in the fourth segment tonight. And tonight we're going to share with you the principles that will help us to be able to embrace the truth about Satan's activities against God's people in these last days. The reason that we have put an emphasis on knowing the true nature of the great controversy is because we have historically, as Seventh-day Adventists, emphasized what I should say is called the corporate or the global controversy. Let me define that for you. The corporate or global controversy basically communicates how the devil uses institutions and uses powers and uses governments to execute his will. When we study prophecy, and we even if we go back to the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream that Daniel was able to explain, please understand that when we look at the successive kingdoms, starting with Babylon and then Medo-Persia and then Greece and then Rome, and then we look at the power of the transformation of power, the transformation of that civil power to a papal power in Rome, we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians have long been able to look at the global controversy, the corporate controversy. But it is also necessary that we give consideration and study to the individual controversy. When you look at a forest, you not only see forests, but if you focus your eyes, you will see individual trees. Amen? In the controversy, we not only see the kingdoms that are under the control of Satan doing his will, as the Bible discloses in Revelation chapter 18, when the Holy Spirit is poured out with great power and the whole earth is lightened with his glory, the Bible also says toward the end of Revelation 18 that in the end, that the kings of the earth have waxed rich through her delicacies, and this great deception that has been underway because Satan has been moving through kingdoms and through kings and monarchs and through leaders. That's the reason that the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 that this wrestling that we are involved in is against spiritual wickedness in what is it? High places. Come on, everybody say, high places. But even though we realize that this battle is going on in high places, it is also going on individually. The Hillcrest Seventh-day Adventist Church will not be sucked up when Jesus comes again. You cannot run to this church and just sit here and the Lord will just like a large vacuum cleaner suck the whole church up. And everybody will say, hey, I was in the church when the Lord came. We will be saved individually. Remember on last evening, we gave you that term that we want to emphasize again and again. And that is by myself. Now, by myself is not meant to send the message that we should not be concerned about our fellow man. By myself simply means that we are to be concerned about our soul salvation and our individual walk. While we're witnessing to others, Paul said it best, we don't want to find ourselves a castaway. Amen? What does it mean to go out and preach and to teach and to influence and to draw others to Jesus Christ when we are quickly falling away ourselves? Don't you know that when Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and Timothy and Matthew and all of the rest of the apostles were casting out demons and healing the sick, Judas was too. Come on, say amen. Don't exclude him when you look at the Word of God and you think about who was having the power that Jesus breathed on the apostles, that Jesus gave to the apostles, the power that he gave to them, Judas got it too. But Judas refused to stay in a spirit of submission. And because he refused to stay in a spirit of submission, what happened to Judas was, what can happen to any of us? And that is that we think we're standing, but we're falling. Because the assessment that we're using for our own spiritual growth is not Jesus, but our own self-evaluation test. Your test of self-evaluation, your self-analysis is inadequate to really spiritually identify your shortcomings and your shortfalls. Jesus is the only one who can tell us where we need to be fixed. Come on, say amen. You can think that you need fixing in one place, and Jesus comes by and say, no, you all right over there, but this is where you got a problem over here. And so what we need to never forget is Jesus is the only one who can do appropriate analysis. That's the reason why it's inappropriate for us to judge one another. Judge not that you be not what? Judge. You can't judge yourself. Come on, say amen. So if you can't judge yourself, certainly we are not in a position to judge anyone else. The reason that we have gone through this process is to help you to identify that the war that began in heaven has transitioned to this earth. The war that began in glory that Jesus himself had to be involved in is the same war that we have to be involved in. Tonight, we're going to give you a lot of scriptures. Tonight, we're going to give you spirit of prophecy quotations. Tonight, we're going to show you in the Bible and the pen of inspiration the points that we have made in the previous messages where, such as, that God had to allow Satan to play his hand all the way to Calvary so that all of the angelic hosts could really see how evil the devil really was. We're going to give you that quotation. We're going to also give you the quotations that will help you to understand that the battle that Christ went through is the same battle that we will have to go through. We're going to show you that from the Bible and the pen of inspiration. And tonight we're specifically talking about the four levels of activity that Satan has against God's people. The four levels of satanic activity that he will come against God's people. But before we go into that, we need to understand exactly where we are. The Bible tells us, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same, what everybody? Mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh, speaking of you and I, when we suffer in the flesh, has ceased from sin. If we suffer with Christ, we should cease from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We should not live the rest of our lives in the flesh for the lust of men. You know, Paul is the one who spends the most time talking about the lust of the flesh. And when he talks about the lust of the flesh, as we have brought out to you before, he is not talking about sexual desires. We have done a disservice to that scripture when we talk about lust, and we have heard it often suggested that it refers to lust in the sense of passion, sexual passion. When the Bible speaks about lust, it is not speaking solely about physical passion or sexual passion. When the Bible talks about lust, the Bible is talking about you and I having a carnal nature that desires wicked things. I used to smoke once upon a time. And when someone lights up a cigarette near me, it does not have the same effect on me that it has on you if you've never smoked. If you've never smoked, you can't stand it. If I smell it, it smells good. That's called the lust of the flesh. Come on, say amen. I used to drink. And when I pass by a bar, I can smell the alcohol. If you never drank, you smell alcohol, it stinks. You wonder how anybody can drink it. But the lust of my flesh that has to be brought unto subjection does not smell anything that stinks. It smells something that it knows all too well. What will keep one out of the kingdom will not keep another. And what will keep another out of the kingdom will not keep another out of the kingdom. We all have problems. And on tomorrow night, you will not want to miss it because we're going to talk about some of the things that Satan uses that he comes right up into our homes so that he can keep us out of the kingdom. We are studying our Sabbath school lesson. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We have morning and evening worship. But we have left little seeds in our homes that one day Satan is going to reach out and grab them and stealthily, Ellen White likes to use that word, stealthily. You know, America has what they call a stealth bomber. The stealth bomber is supposed to be able to slip through radar. He will slip into our homes under the radar screen. Come on, say amen. And when we are least expecting it, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. The reason that we're going to find ourselves in trouble is not because we're going out there and playing with him, but because we've allowed him to play with us. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 is the scripture we just read. But let's also look at this scripture. The Bible also says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 6, in the last part it says, but live according to God in the what, everybody? In the Spirit. Do you know that one of the things that we don't talk enough about in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is living under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost? We are afraid of living under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost because our concept of living under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost has been so affected and so infected by evangelicals that we believe that if it makes you act like that, I don't want anything to do with the Holy Ghost. But only the Holy Ghost, hear me now, only the Holy Ghost can fortify our minds. Only the Holy Ghost can bring us to an awareness. Only the Holy Ghost can purify our minds. Only the Holy Ghost can take us step by step in and through a transforming process because he knows what needs to be eradicated first. He is a spiritual surgeon. And because he's a spiritual surgeon, the Holy Ghost knows whether or not to attack one sin or another first. You and I may sit down and we say, I need to get rid of that sin in my life. Yeah, you do. But the Holy Ghost may say, yeah, but you don't understand. That sin is in your life because you got that sin in your life. And that sin is feeding that sin. And until you get rid of that sin, you're going to keep having that sin. Come on, say amen. That's the way the Spirit of God works. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah, we've already looked at that scripture, I, the Lord, try the heart. When we look at the Word of God gives us what we need to understand and so that we can be sober in these last days. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, the Bible says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what, everybody? Wise. And what else do we need to do? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Oh, no, the days are great. I've never made so much money in all my life. Good times. I've never had so much money to invest in all my life. These are good times. Now, what the Bible says that the days are what, everybody? Evil. So if the days are evil, then we need to take a different look at what's really going on in these days. We need to have a different understanding about these days. Here's a quote from the Pen of Inspiration. Satan's enmity against the human race is kindled because through Christ they are the object of God's love and mercy. In other words, because God loves you so much, Satan hates you the more. Somebody ought to say amen. In other words, God loves you so much that the devil can't stand it. He can't understand why, as broken as you are, as sinful as you are, as half-hearted as we are, come on now, that the Lord still loves us. Oh, that makes him so mad. That makes the devil so mad. Pen of Inspiration goes on to say that we are the objects of God's love and mercy. He desires to thwart the divine plan for man's redemption, to cast dishonor upon God. What else does he want to do? He also wants to do something else. He wants to deface and defile God's handiwork. He would cause grief in heaven and fill the earth with woe and desolation. Remember the other night we talked to you about the reality that anything that happens on this earth is still filtered through the Father. So what does this passage tell us? This passage tells us that were it not for God, the only thing the devil would be serving us in daily dosages is what? Woe and what else? Desolation. And he points to all this evil. Notice that he is the author of the evil. Notice that he is the one that brings evil. Notice that he is the one that brings death. Notice that he is the one that brings destruction. But the Pen of Inspiration says in Great Controversy, page 506, paragraph 1, that the devil points to this evil as a result of God's work in creating man. Isn't that the same thing you hear from non-believers? Why do we have so many problems? They won't blame the devil. Who do they blame? God. Where does that spirit come from? The devil himself. So let's look now in God's word to see how Satan comes against God's people. Let's take a look. We want to look at the four levels of satanic activity against God's people. How many levels are they? There are four levels that we want to look at. All right, let's go to level number one. The first level that we want to consider is satanic attack. If you serve the Lord, you will suffer persecution. The Bible says, all who live what? Will what? Suffer what? Persecution. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. The Bible says, all who live godly, not some. Not just black folk, not just white folk, not just Americans, not just Africans, not just Asians, not just folk in the Caribbean, not just folk in South America. It says all who will live godly will suffer persecution. The reason that we serve the Lord is not because we are trying to avoid persecution. The reason we serve the Lord is because it pays to serve Jesus. Come on, say amen. It pays to serve him. You can stay out of the Lord's ranks and you're still going to get your head whipped. Come on, say amen. So the best thing to do is get on the Lord's side. Because at the end of the story, God wins. And I want to be on the winning side. I done lost enough in my life. I want to win in the end. Come on, say amen. So we've already talked about it in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. That's why the Bible says, run with what, everybody? Patience. The race that is what? Set before you. That's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible also says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are what, everybody? You are what, everybody? You are blessed. Didn't Jesus say that in Matthew chapter 5? When men shall revile you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He didn't say go cry. He didn't say go crawl up in a corner and ask why in the world is it happening to you. He said rejoice, throw a spiritual party. Hey, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You've got good company if you're persecuted. Come on, say amen. Jesus, your Savior, was persecuted. John was persecuted. James was beheaded. Peter was hung upside down. I'm in good company if I get persecuted. Come on, say amen. Oh, no, it doesn't feel good. But you're in good company when you're on the Lord's side. Amen. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. The Bible also tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a, what everybody, a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. In other words, you ought to have such hope, such peace, such a forward view that when you are getting whipped, when you are going through down times, when you've lost your job, when you've lost your best friend, when your spouse has walked out on you, when you have lost a loved one to death, when you've been told you've got 30 days to live, you can say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Hey, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Have a hope. Something's wrong with us today. We don't have the hope that we used to have. Amen. We don't have us. You used to could look down toward the front row. I remember as a little boy growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist church, and all of the sisters, the deaconesses, those saints of God would be dressed in white, and they would be occupying the first couple, three rows of the church. And if you ever wanted to hear somebody sing, they would sing. You ever needed somebody to pray, they would pray. You ever needed somebody to get a prayer through for you, they would get a prayer through. But something is missing in the church of God. Nobody knows how to get a prayer through anymore. Bible also says we ought to have a good conscience that when they defame you, defame us as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, they may end up being ashamed. The Bible also says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing what? Evil. I'd rather be suffering for good, for righteousness' sake, than for suffering for evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Listen to what the pen of inspiration says. The inhabitants of heaven and other worlds, being unprepared to comprehend the nature or consequences of sin, could not then, speaking of when it occurred in heaven, could not then have seen the justice and mercy of God in the destruction of Satan. Remember that we told you the other night that the reason that God did not immediately obliterate Satan is because he had to allow evil to play out. Mercy stepped in and covered justice. The Father could have stood up and just fought Satan into nothing. Come on, say amen. But he held his peace. Pen of Inspiration goes on and says, had he immediately blotted them from existence, they would have served God from what? Fear rather than what? Love. Than from love. The influence of the deceiver would not have been fully destroyed, nor would the spirit of rebellion have been utterly eradicated. Evil must be permitted to come to maturity. Isn't that deep? God has to allow evil to grow up and become the bad child that it really is. He knows it's going to be a bad child, but he's going to let it grow up. And then at the end, he's going to deal with it. We're going to talk about that in just a few seconds. Watch this. Evil must be permitted to come to maturity. For the good of the entire universe through ceaseless ages, Satan must more fully develop his principles. Great controversy, page 498, paragraph 3. The same spirit, new quotation, the same spirit that prompted rebellion in heaven still inspires rebellion on earth. Have you ever seen churches get to fighting over having an evangelistic meeting? Huh? Ain't nothing but the spirit of the devil. The Bible says that Jesus, before he left here, said, go ye into all the world. Anybody who doesn't want to participate in that is not on the Lord's side. Come on, say amen. Huh? It says here, Satan has continued with men the same policy which he pursued with the angels. His spirit now reigns in the children of what? Disobedience. Notice that the pen of inspiration goes on to say, reproof of sin still arouses the spirit of hatred and resistance. When God's messages of warning are brought home to the conscience, Satan leads men to justify themselves and to seek the sympathy of others in their course of sin. Come on now. Huh? Instead, listen to this. Instead of correcting their errors, they excite indignation against the reprover as if he were the sole cause of difficulty. From the days of righteous Abel to our own time, such is the spirit which has been displayed toward those who dare to condemn sin. Great Controversy, page 500, paragraph 1. Got one more quotation for you. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. You and I need to remember that in the contest between Christ and Satan, during the Savior's earthly ministry, the character of the great deceiver was unmasked. Nothing, here is that quote that I was referring to earlier, of what Calvary proved. Nothing could so effectually have uprooted Satan from the affections of the heavenly angels and those who, and the whole loyal universe, as did his cruel warfare upon the world's Redeemer. When they saw what he did to the Son of God, they said, "We're not going to ever believe anything he has to say." Look at what it took to get the point across. That's Great Controversy, pages 500 to 501. I want you to know something, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them what? All. Psalm 34:19. You and I need to understand that God watches over the sparrow, and he watches even you and me. And when he gets through with allowing sin to run its course, only the Father knows. That's what Jesus says. No one knoweth the day nor the hour but my Father which is in heaven. You know what my Bible tells me in Nahum 1:9? That when he destroys Satan and his angels and all those who choose to follow him, iniquity shall not what? Rise a second time. You know why it's not going to rise a second time? Not because anybody's going to be afraid of the awesome majesty and power that God is going to display in the destruction of the wicked. No, but because we have been through the storm. Nobody will be signing up for storm journeys anymore. When we get off that ship, when we get off this ship and we step on to eternal life and that glassy shore, we're going to say heaven was cheap enough, and nobody's going to look back. Somebody may walk up to you and ask you, "Tell me what you went through." You'll be scratching your head. You know what? I don't remember, but it was cheap enough. There's a second thing we need to look at tonight. A second thing we need to look at, and that is satanic influence. And that is the counterfeit molding of our characters. Remember that we need to all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit cannot live completely inside of you, the only other spirit that lives inside of you is the spirit of... Come on, don't be afraid to say it. Is the spirit of who? Either the Holy Ghost is living in you or the unholy ghost is living in you. The two are not going to live in the same house. In Acts chapter 5, we have the account. There, let me just share with you just an overview. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and let's see what the Word of God has to say. Lest I try to go from memory and my memory fail me. Acts chapter 5, and we're going to see what the Word of God has to say. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, we have the account of Ananias and Sapphira. They made a covenant with the Lord. They made a what, everybody? They made a vow, and the vow was that when they sold their property, they would give a certain percentage to the Lord for the furthering of the cause of Jesus Christ. Were these people in the world or in the church? In the what? In the where? Come on, no, these are folk in the world. They were in the church. Come on, say amen. And Ananias and Sapphira, they got to looking at all that money that got there laying on their table. Can't I never forget when I sold my house in California. It was a wonderful experience. Remember the other night I shared with you, first time I bought a house. And I bought that house, and I had never seen property appreciate so quickly. In 4 years, a house had appreciated in value $30,000. Boy, when that check came through, I looked at it even after the real estate agent had gotten his. I said, man, I've never seen this much in one check in all my life. Let me just sit here and look at it for a minute. And I looked at it for a quick minute and ran straight to the bank. But I had made a vow to the Lord that we were going to do such and such with that check. And we were going to live a debt-free lifestyle. You ought to try. Come on, say amen. The reason that we don't have more in the coffers of God, the reason that we don't have more in the treasury, is because too many of God's people are bound with debt. I'll come back and do another series about that, but this is not about debt. But let me share this with you. Ananias and Sapphira, they had a vow, and this vow they had to the Lord was a vow that they had made a covenant that so much was going to go to the Lord. And when they looked at the proceeds from the sale of the property, Ananias said, Sapphira, you hang back, baby. I'm going down first, and I'm going to strike a deal with Brother Peter as they lift the offering this morning. And so he went down there. And what happened was is that Peter was spoken to by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost told him that Sapphira, or Ananias rather, was lying. And when Ananias was confronted about it, Ananias was speechless. And the Bible says he fell down dead. If God was still doing that kind of thing in the church today, what would happen to the enrollment in the membership in the churches? Come on now. Huh? Sapphira comes along a little bit later, and she doesn't realize that Ananias is already dead, because the Hebrews would bury you as soon as you died. And so what happened is Sapphira comes in and she propagates the same lie. And then Peter says, what is it that made you all tempt the Holy Ghost? Whenever we tempt the Holy Ghost, it means that we're allowing the devil to reroute our spiritual molding. The spiritual molding is the shaping and the fashioning of our characters. And every time we make a decision for sin, do you know what's really happening? The devil is molding our characters. And the Lord has got to come back and reshape that which has been wrongfully molded in the wrong direction. But if you continue to allow the devil to mold your character in carnal things, one day you'll reach down for something spiritual and there will be nothing there in the church. Ananias and Sapphira were not in the world, they were in the church. They died in their sins. That's why the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. If you were drowning, which all of us are in this world, if you were drowning, would you grab something just leisurely? I'm dying out here drowning in the river, the Tennessee River, and I need this lifeline that's been thrown to me, let me hold it. I don't want to get my hand too dirty. It doesn't look too clean. I will just gingerly hold it. No! If there was a lifeline thrown to you and you were drowning, what would you do? You grab it, you bite it. Come on, say amen. You tie it around your waist. Come on, say amen. Because you want to be saved. That's why the Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Lay what? Hold on eternal life. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the Bible tells us. The Bible also says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. I want to give you something here that you may not have taken note of as we see this lineup coming on the screen. In verse 11 of Ephesians 6 And then in verse 13 and 14, and then in verse 13, there is select word usage by the Holy Ghost. If you will look very carefully as you study that, you will find there in verse 11 it says to do what? To stand. And then verse 13 it says, having done all to stand, then in verse 14 it says, stand. So the Bible is very clear. Obviously, it is such a harsh and fierce battle that the Lord wants us to know to stand. 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 But the Lord doesn't stop there. He says, stand. 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 Withstand. Come on, say amen. Don't only stand up. He says, withstand the attacks that come against you. Withstand the fierce battle. Withstand it. And don't just withstand it. Stand up. When the three Hebrew boys were out there on the plain of Dura, nobody had to tell them to stand. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked out there, he said, who is that standing? Not only did they stand, they stood once. He said, y'all may not have understood the instruction, but when we play the music, y'all don't understand. This is how the game goes. You bow. And so they played the music again, and they did not bow. They stood. Come on, say amen. But not only that, then Nebuchadnezzar said, y'all not too bright. Y'all come here. Now, I've sent it through my school, but something's missing in your learning equation. You got a low learning curve. You don't understand. There's a fiery furnace over there, and I've got power over life and death. So at that time, the three Hebrew boys stopped standing and then they withstood. Come on, say amen. And they said, oh, King, let me help you understand. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Hey, baby, we got news for you. If he chooses not to deliver us, we will not bow down. Now take that. Woo. Can you imagine that? That king sitting there in all of his arrogance said, fire that furnace up seven times hotter. And not only because they fired it up seven times hotter and that he had arrogance, there was also a great controversy going on right there because Nebuchadnezzar thought that he could rewrite history as God had revealed it to him. God had said, Babylon will not last. And Nebuchadnezzar was going to make and mandate that his kingdom would last forever. My Bible tells me that they not only stood, they not only stood, they not only stood, they also withstood. They got a reward that when they went in the furnace, they walked and talked with Jesus. Come on, say amen. That's a beautiful thing. What do you say? I thank God that when you stand up for Jesus, he doesn't leave you alone. He'll go in the lion's den with you. He'll go in the pot of boiling oil with you. He'll cool down the fires like he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they came out, they said, doesn't even smell like smoke. Doesn't even look like the same boy. They don't look like they've even been singed. Smoke has touched them. And did we not throw in three, but I see four. But what happens if you don't stand? Remember the prophet Balaam? Huh? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Quote from Pen of Inspiration. I'm going to need a few extra minutes tonight. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. If those who hide and excuse their faults could see how Satan exults over them, how he taunts Christ and holy angels with their course, they would make haste to confess their sins and to put them away. Through defects in the what, everybody? You think it's temptations that come against you that's going to keep you out of the glory. Pen of Inspiration said, through defects in the character. Satan works to gain control of the what, everybody? Whole mind. And he knows that if these defects are cherished, he will succeed. Therefore, he is constantly seeking to deceive the followers of Christ with his fatal sophistry that it is impossible for them to overcome. Listen to what else she says. But Jesus pleads in their behalf, his wounded hands, his bruised body, and he declares to all who would follow him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Come on, say amen. Don't you tell me you can't overcome. Jesus says, if you serve me, I have overcome the world. Stick with me. That comes from Great Controversy, page 489 in paragraph 2. We need to understand that the devil not only will have demonic attack against us, satanic attack against us, he will not only have demonic influence against us, he will move toward demonic control. Now, when we looked at demonic influence, that is a counterfeit molding of our characters. But the demonic influence is a counterfeit molding of our characters. But under demonic control, the third area, it is counterfeit to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't know where this tape is going to end up, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Have you ever noticed that when the evangelicals are going through this healing process, that there is no challenge for life change? I want you to say something with me. Mind, get around that. When they heal them of cancer, suppose it's come from smoking, does anybody say, it is your sins that have brought you to this place? There's all of this talk about the power of Christ to heal, and he does have power to heal. But when you look closely, as an example, in the Gospel of Luke, because Luke has more instances of the healing of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, than any of the other Gospels, you will find that what's interesting is Jesus consistently comes back to one issue. You know what that is? Thy sins are forgiven thee. Come on now. This isn't just about healing. I'm not showing off power. I'm not throwing miracle working power around as if I don't have an accountability factor. You have sins that have put you in this position. Your sins are forgiven you. Our scriptural reference for that is Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 11. And we will go to, if you go and you look at that situation, you will find there in Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 11, where there is a direct confrontation for withstanding the forward progression of the work of Christ. And the apostles have to confront it. And people think that they can't confront this power, but it's a counterfeit power. Not all power is good power. When I was in Australia running a series, I had to buy an adapter to put into their electrical circuitry because their power source in the British system was too much power for my laptop computer and for the things that I needed to operate over there. In fact, in one occasion, I believe that my wife had plugged up either her curling iron or her hairdryer, and it fried it immediately. Wrong kind of power. It was electricity, but it was in the wrong quantity. Sometimes we think when we get a certain level of power and insight that it came from the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible gives us a prescription, a model to follow. If it speak not according to the law and to the testimony, it is because there is no light. No light. No light. And if it doesn't have the light in it, what is it? Darkness. That's why the Bible says Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 3, verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the what? Spirit. He cannot. Not a possibility. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Bible also gives us this word. The life that is in the Spirit. I want you to study this. I don't have time to go through this. The life that is in the Spirit is recorded between Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 through Ephesians 5 and verse 10. And notice, Pastor, that the warfare context of fighting the good fight of faith is after the teaching about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I can't go to battle without being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to even appreciate the armament that's needed for the battle. I want you to study that in your personal devotions. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 through Ephesians 5 and verse 10. The life in the Spirit. So, number four. We want to look at this one very quickly. Demonic possession. Luke 8, 26 through 36. Demonic possession. This is the manifestation of Satan's dominion. Now, I want you to notice something, if you will, that in most of the instances when Jesus had to cast demons out, it was not among the Romans. Y'all missed that. Somebody wake up tonight. It was not the Greeks. It was the people of God, the Jews. What were the Jews walking around being possessed for? That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow night. How did people end up in that condition? You want to avoid it, that condition? You got to understand. Remember how we shared with you the other night, how Saul started out being anointed, prophesying. And the prophet said, he's become one of us. And then he ends up consulting with the witch at Endor. How did he do that? It does not happen overnight. The change happens gradually. And in the context of Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 36, you have Jesus confronting Satan and is having total dominion over this person. I'm going to share something with you tonight. And I want you to see this. See, I want you to see with your eyes and ask the Lord to help you to comprehend it with your spiritual understanding. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus says that he came to preach what? Deliverance to the captives. Captive by whom? Satan. If God done on you, who owns you? Come on now. In Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 35, you have another instance where Jesus cast a devil out of this man in Capernaum. And the man who had the demon in Capernaum was in the church. Go back and study it. Luke chapter 4. Write it down. Time is not my friend at this point, so I want you to study these things. In Luke chapter 4 and verses 31 through 35, Jesus was in the synagogue. Where was he? In church. And his holiness was so profound that the demons couldn't tolerate it. Look at what happens. The cause of this man's affliction, coming from the pen of inspiration, the cause of this man's affliction also was in his own life. He had been fascinated. What is the word? He was fascinated with the pleasures of sin and had thought to make life a grand carnival. Intemperance and frivolity perverted the noble attributes of his nature, and Satan took entire control of him. That's not all. There are multitudes today as truly under the power of evil spirits as was the demoniac at Capernaum. All who, listen to this now, listen carefully. All who willfully depart from God's commandments are placing themselves under the control of Satan. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? In other words, there is no middle ground. Listen to what else she says. Here it is. Many a man tampers with evil, thinking that he can break away at pleasure. But he is lured on until he finds himself controlled by a will stronger than his own. He cannot escape its mysterious power. Secret sin or master passion may hold him. God does not control our minds without consent, but every man is free to choose what power he will have to rule over him. None. And this is where you get to shout. None have fallen so low. None are so vile, but that they may find deliverance in Jesus Christ. Come on, say amen. Not only can we find deliverance in Jesus Christ, Marvelous will be the transformation wrought in him who by faith opens the door of the heart to the Savior. Ministry of Healing, page 93. You play with the devil, he plays for keeps. That's why the Bible tells us, if the Son shall make you what? Free. You shall be what, everybody? Free indeed, John 8:36. For the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night, this is what's going to happen at the end, has been what, everybody? Cast down. And they overcame him. That's speaking about Satan. By the what? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their what? Testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, last part through verse 11. You and I have a very serious question to answer tonight. Are we really, strongly, decidedly committed, consecrated, thoroughly, completely on the Lord's side? This world has its attractions. It does. Some things look so nice in this world. Some things in this world, the carnal nature just seems to latch on to. But we have a heaven to win, and we have a hell to shun. Amen? And because we have a heaven to win and a hell to shun, it's time to get serious about our religion. How many of you really believe that? It's time to be serious. It's time to be serious. The old song says, you can have this old world, but give me Jesus. How many of us really believe that? That you can really have this world? My brothers and sisters, the appeal tonight is very simple. Are you willing to renounce this world and all of its sinful pleasures, and willing to allow Christ to show you defects of character, traits of character, that you need to renounce, that Christ can mold your character so that Satan will have no power over your life? If that's your prayer, if that's your commitment, I want you to stand as we pray. Father in heaven, we stand in commitment tonight. We stand in covenant with you. And even our standing is not prompted by our own power, but the Holy Spirit of God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Lord, I thank you tonight that you have brought revival to our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to renounce any and everything of this world. I ask, Lord, that you would take and show us any traits of character that need to be dealt with, put away, that we can pray about them, that we can confess them, and that we can run away from them, Lord, so that we can be like Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would pour in our hearts, our broken hearts, our corrupt hearts. Pour in our hearts, Lord, the Holy Spirit, after you clean them up, that he may live in us, and that we may live for you. Lord, we pray this prayer, and we're thankful that you're not only able to hear the prayer, but transform our lives. This we thank you for doing in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let everyone say amen and amen. We'll look to see you on tomorrow night. Bring a friend, and remember, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-233-4450. 652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.